still look good. Hope everybody's keeping up on all their oral hygiene, because we'll take these off again someday. So keep flossing and brushing. Go to your dentist and get your teeth cleaned. Wouldn't it be awful to go into this with a great smile and come out and... Anyway. I was feeling all spiritual. Then we had to stop and dismiss the young people. Got away from me. If I have a little overlap between this morning's message and this afternoon's, pardon me if you watched it. I still encourage you to go watch it if you haven't, because it's two different messages, but I may have a little bit of overlap because I feel like the Holy Ghost is speaking. Another thing is I spent a lot of my voice this morning. I don't know how that happened, but by the time I was finished, I had little voice. I feel like the Lord's restored it. So thank God for that. But we'll see. We're going to be careful and try to maybe reserve some so I can say everything that I feel like the Lord would have us to say. Isaiah 26:3, I think I'll use that as my key verse. I alluded to it this morning, but I think it's a good key verse for what the Lord would have us to think on this afternoon. And Isaiah simply says that thou, in talking to the Lord, says thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. I want to say that the best place that you can be right now, the safest place, the most secure place, the most powerful place, the most transformational place is in the church. Your hope is found nowhere else. And we need to be very careful as the body of Christ, what we hitch up to and how strongly we hitch to those things. Now, that applies to anything in life outside of the Lord. That applies to anything. We all need a certain amount of money, but we don't need to hitch our wagon too much to money because money will let us down. We all need other people, but you don't want to become too strongly hitched, heavily hitched to people, because personalities, how many know, can go up and down, and they may let you down. Your job, we all need a job, but you don't want to rely too heavily on a job because jobs come and go. Amen. We need a home, but your home will dilapidate. Your car won't start. You get what I'm saying. Everything that's carnal, everything that's temporal, everything that's natural, the Bible says it's going to rust or it can be stolen or it's going to just wither away. And so we're instructed by the Word of God to store up our treasure in heaven. Everything other than heavenly things they are corruptible. They will vanish away. And so we are reminded of that every once in a while because we kind of do. We attach ourselves to certain things in this world, and we're not maybe as cognizant of how attached we are until things don't go the way we wanted them to go. You can determine how attached you are to this world, not by how excited you are when it goes your way, but how discouraged you are when it doesn't go your way. Let me get out of my notes. Let me go here to where I believe the Lord kind of led me earlier. I pulled it up on my Bible over there, and then I got in the pulpit and kind of went back to my original notes. But here's what I feel led to show you in Philippians 4. Where Paul speaks to the church, mind you, he's speaking to the church, when he says in verse 4, to rejoice in the Lord, always. In the Lord, we rejoice, always. So if we are, let me use the same word I've been using, if we're hitched heavily to the Lord, then we can rejoice always. Because the Lord does not fluctuate. He's not a sure thing one day and then maybe not so sure the next day, but the Lord is a sure thing. And we can rely on the Lord and we can trust in the Lord. What did Isaiah say? You'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. And so as long as our mind is stayed on the Lord, we trust in the Lord, then we'll have perfect peace. That's the only place that it's derived from. And Paul goes on to say in Philippians 4, verse 5, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful. The word careful there literally means anxious, nervous. I hit on it Wednesday night. But the Bible says to be anxious for nothing. In other words, we are instructed in the Word of God not to worry, not to fret. I mentioned it this morning, but I'll repeat it again this afternoon, and that is that the battle that we fight is not a carnal, earthly battle. The battle we fight, really, it can be summed up to say this, the battle is in our mind. For if the enemy of our soul can captivate our mind, if he can win the battle in our mind, then he's won the battle completely. Because we are what we believe. We are what we think. We will go where we think to go. The woman with the issue of blood would never have received her deliverance, her healing, if at first in her mind she had not said in herself, if I go touch the hem of his garment. And so in her mind she had already won the battle. Don't you know the enemy had tried to defeat her in her mind? Aren't you glad that some of you came to church today and you didn't feel like coming to church, but you still came to church? Maybe in your mind you battled with, maybe I shouldn't go to church. Maybe I don't need to go to church. Maybe this is not a good day to go to church. But you won that little battle in your mind. And so here you are, and thank God for small battles that we win. Thank God that I'll tell you one of the most remarkable things about the woman with the issue of blood is that she had been sick for 12 years and still came to church that day. She had been sick. She had been to many physicians, and many men had told her to do this and do that, and they took her money, and she was no better, but only continually grew worse and more depleted. But that day when she heard that Jesus was there, you know she had that conversation in her mind that said, okay, body, I know you don't feel like getting up and going, but my mind says if we can just get to the hem of the garment of Jesus, that our situation will be turned around. You've got to win this battle in your mind. I said it this morning. I used to believe that every time my car broke down, the devil's after my car. Every time I had a problem on the job, the devil's after my job. Every time I had a problem in my house, the devil's after my house. And I finally figured out that the devil doesn't need my car. He doesn't drive. He doesn't need my house. He doesn't need a house to live in. He's not looking for a job, so he doesn't need my job. So why would he attack me on those fronts? It's all about my mind, because if I can get discouraged in my mind, if I can become defeated in my mind, if he can get me to the point where I just throw my hands in the air and say, what's the use anyway? Then I don't show up to the miracle services where my life will be indelibly changed. If he wins the battle of the woman's mind, she never gets her deliverance. So I'm telling you this morning, be careful what takes place between your two ears, because the devil is fighting you at every front. That's why there's so much scripture given us about the mind, about our thinking, about what we speak to ourselves. And Paul says here to be anxious, don't be nervous, don't worry, don't be careful for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7, and the peace of God. Not the peace of this world. If you're looking for peace in this world, I'm sorry to tell you, you've shown up too late. I think the well is dry, and the only place we're going to find everlasting peace today is from our God. And so I'm looking not for peace in this world, not for peace in the political system, not for peace in riches, not for peace in another job, not for peace in my health or my well-being, but I've come to the conclusion that I'm only going to find peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding. I don't understand it. I have peace when it doesn't make sense to have peace. I can sing when it doesn't make sense that I have a song. It shall. The peace that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, here's the real help. Whatever things are true and honest, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. You got to shut off the news once in a while, folks. You got to shut down the media every once in a while. You got to get off Facebook. You got to get off Twitter. You got to get off Instagram. You got to get off the phone. You got to get off the emails and get off the texts and get in the Word. things that are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there's any praise, the Bible says to think. Everybody say think. It means meditate. It means to literally dwell on these things. Good things. Things that flood into my mind. The enemy comes in like a flood. He comes into our minds like a flood, and I have to determine I will not think on those things. I will think on these things. I literally have to make up my mind. That's a good phrase to get a hold of. Make up my mind. Determine in my mind. I will not think on that. I will think on this. I will not dwell on that. I will dwell on this. I will not meditate on that. I will meditate on this. You will have to filter out all the garbage and concentrate on the good. And think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly now at the last your care of me hath flourished again. Verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want. I want to show you something here. He says, I'm thankful that you started giving to me. I'm thankful that you started seeing that you needed to take care of me and that's flourished again. He says, but I don't want you to think when I say that I'm thankful for that, I don't want you to think wrongly that I speak in respect that I'm in need. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You ought to tape that to your mirror where you get dressed and ready every morning. You ought to go home and print that out and tape it to your mirror and leave it there for the next several days. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, whatever state I am in, whatever condition, whatever circumstances. Did you ever think that when you're praying for God to change your circumstances, maybe God is waiting for your circumstances to change you? Maybe rather than pray God changes everything around you, maybe God sent a little something there to change you. Maybe if it would change you, then your perspective could change. And he said, I've just learned that whatever state I'm in, I'm just going to be in that state. I will be content. Now watch this in verse 12. He says, I know both how to be abased. That means I know how to live humbly. I know how to live without, and I know how to abound, to live in prosperity. I know how to live when I have nothing, and I also know how to live when I have plenty. Think about that. Paul said, I know how to live there. I know how to live there. I know how to be there. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Now let me say this way. It's one thing to know how to get to the valley. All you have to do to get to a valley is start walking down, and eventually you will get to the valley. Getting to the valley is not the problem. And it's easy to figure out how to get to the mountaintop. You just start walking upward, and eventually the upward climb will bring you to the mountaintop. Figuring out how to get to the valley and how to get to the mountaintop is not the problem. The problem for most of us is how do we be there? How do I dwell here? How do I exist here? How do I sustain here? How do I dwell on the mountaintop once I'm there? It's easy to tell somebody how to get to the mountaintop. Just start walking up. But I'm going to tell you this. If you're not a wise climber, you don't just go to Mount Everest and look up at the peak and say, I'm going to climb that. You better know what you're doing. Because you'll get to a certain elevation where you can't breathe anymore. See, you don't just walk up. You have to know how to abound, how to live there. Not everybody knows how to be on the mountain. We can preach to people all day long how to get to the mountain. Come on, everybody. Elevate, elevate, elevate. Come on, everybody. Rise, rise, rise. Come on. Climb that mountain. That's easy to preach, but how to live on a mountain. That's why you've got people who are abased, poor, And they will point their finger at all the rich people and say, if I only had more money. You have no problems. You have no worries. You have no stresses. You don't understand that the rich people have as many stresses as you. And then you got rich people sitting there pointing at all the other people saying, man, I wish I didn't have to do that. I wish I didn't have this stress. I wish I didn't have that. See, what you don't understand is there is a skill to being to living in prosperity just as much as there is to living in abasement. Yeah. It's true anyway. Some of you are like, well, I'd like to find out. I'd like to just find out for myself, Pastor. Trust me, I've known both kinds of people. And the problem is, people that want to get to the mountaintop, they didn't plan. They didn't know when they got there. Oh, there's a whole set of skills required. There's a whole set of circumstances here on the mountaintop. See, many people climb the mountain and they get so high and they can't breathe anymore, and they didn't bring the oxygen, because when you get so high, you have to have oxygen up there, or you will die. So you have to plan for living in abundance. You have to know and plan to abound. Just like people who live in poverty you figure some things out, don't you? Now, some of you might get with me here. Some of you maybe have lived there where my wife and I have been before, where you have to have some skills to know how, when you have no money, to keep on eating. Feed a family on very little. Feed a family when nobody, you don't go to the grocery store and pick out the name brand stuff. Your kids aren't turning their nose up because it's not Kraft macaroni and cheese. It's that cheap stuff that you just put the little powder in and, you know, you throw it on the table and say, you learn. And you're looking at all the rich people saying, if only I had more money. You don't understand that all the rich people are up there trying to, they got all these other people reaching and grabbing for them and trying to get it from them. And they're having to, they fought to get it, and they have to fight to keep it. And Paul said, look, I've been in both conditions. I've been in both situations. I know both how to abound and how to be abased. I've lived with plenty and I've lived with nothing. And the only difference is, in one circumstance, I have a lot of money. In another circumstance, I have no money. But my happiness, my contentment, my contentment is not shackled to how much money I have. So I have learned to be content wherever I am, in whatever state I am. If I have plenty, I'll be content. I won't gripe about having too much or having to work. And if I have nothing, I'll be content wherever I am. I wonder if God is ever just trying to teach us contentment. Stop complaining, stop whining, stop being disgruntled, stop shaking your fist at the world, stop pointing your finger at everybody else and just say, God, I don't know why I'm here, but you've brought me here, and I'm going to be content in whatever state I am in. I will be content wherever you've brought me, wherever you've brought me. That's the trick, is knowing how to be there. Live there, dwell there, sustain there. He says, everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. In other words, he says, wherever I am, I've got instruction for it. In all things. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed. If you got money, thank God you got money. And I thank God you got money. But you have some instructions on how to live as a rich person. And if you're poor, well, I won't say thank God you're poor, but thank God you got the Lord. And you have some instruction on how to live when you're just trying to get by. Wherever we're at, Paul says, I've got instruction. Tells me how to live, how to be there, both how to be full, how to be hungry, how to abound, how to suffer need. He said, I can do all things, whatever I'm faced with. I don't know. I need to come here and tell you all this today, that you can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth you. Your contentment is not predicated upon who is in the White House. Your contentment is not predicated upon the stock market. Your contentment is not our, this world is not our home, folks. This world is not our home. And so be careful how attached you are to the things of this world. Pray for your country, but don't you get depressed when things don't go your way in our country. We are the church of the living God. And the best thing going in this world right now is the church, the body of Christ, the church of the living God. Somebody say amen. In fact, let me just talk for a minute and I'll get out of the way. But let me talk about the church. Where the church, which I believe the psalmist was referring to when he said, for a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. His implication is better than 1,000 any place else is a day in thy courts. He said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Would you agree with me? I believe surely we live in that day that Isaiah described when they're calling good evil and evil good and darkness for light and light for darkness and bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Everything's turned around in the eyes of many, many people in our world. And we live in a society that ridicules righteousness and ridicules and maligns holiness, and they use godliness as a joke. And if you are in the church, I just want to tell you, I don't care what the world says and what we end up facing, you are in the best thing going if you are in the church. There is no political party, there is no club, there is no clique, there is no program, there is nothing, no organization that you can be part of that is better than being in the church. My message to the world, and I said it this morning, to the world I say repent and get right with God. But to the church I say be encouraged. To the church I say rejoice in the Lord always. And let's get back to work for the kingdom. And let's concentrate on building the church. And let's go after lost souls. Come on, somebody. I don't have much voice. I need you to help me anyway. We need to go after the world. We need to go after the lost. We need to reach out to people who are lost and dying and going to a devil's hell. Don't lose sight of the goal, folks. Come on, we need to stay focused on the goal. Amen. See, I've always thought that the church is very closely likened to the ark that Noah built. And when God told Noah to build the ark, he was very clear. He was very detailed that the ark would be the only means of salvation for his family and for the world. He didn't say, I want you to build an ark that will be one of many arks and there'll be many ways for people to be saved. He said, Noah, you're going to build an ark and anybody who's on the ark will be saved. And anybody who's not on the ark will not be saved. And my friends, that is a type of the church of the New Testament. I'm telling you, the only thing going to take anybody out of this world of trouble is the church. When the trumpet sounds, nothing is getting raptured out of this world except the body of Christ. You need to be in the church, get in the church, stay in the church, love the church, support the church. Jesus mentioned no other entity than the church when he said, upon this rock I will build. It's only the church. That's all we've got. That's all we've got. That's all we've got. And I feel like the church has been hit with another realization that, listen, if we're waiting on the world to join forces with us, we've got a long wait. And it's just not going to happen. So we need to look to the hills from whence come our help. Our help cometh from the Lord. And our Lord will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll never fail us. What we're going to do in these last days is only going to happen through the power of the Holy Ghost. Somebody said amen. I need the music to go ahead and come, if you would, please. Think about that. When the floods came, that ark that was the butt of all the jokes, it was the punchline. Crazy Noah, his ridiculous apparatus that he was building. When the floods came, when the rain began to fall. I would tell you, and I'm being very open when I say this, probably more open than I normally am, but one of the things that I am most disturbed about right now is you would be shocked how many people have called me, reached out to me as a pastor, as a minister, even in the last few weeks. And said, Pastor, I'm talking about people away from the church. I'm scared. What's going on? We get a piece treaty going with Israel and the Arab nations. And people call me and say, what's going on? And I'm not going to lie to them. My job is not to appease you in your sins. My job is to tell you, you better repent. You better get right with God. This thing's winding up. Yeah, you see these things start to come, you better, Jesus has given us some wake-up calls. You need to be right with God. Pastor, I'm going to be there. I'm going to get back to the church. They act like, when I hang up the phone, Brother Southern, I think they're running. I'm looking for them. Because the devil has this way of coming and kind of massaging us back into just complacency. Well, it's going to be okay. Conviction grips their hearts and moves them and says, I need to get right with God. I need to get back to the church. I need to be right with God. I need to get back to the church. And then here comes the flesh and here comes the enemy. Who would tell you to stay out of an ark when rain is coming? You with me? Well, when the rain fell, and we're seeing, I really do feel like God is, we see the clouds. We see the signs. They're all around us. The signs of the coming of the Lord are here. If you're not ready, you need to get ready. We're running out of time. And all the people that made fun of Noah and called him crazy and made fun of his boat and called it ridiculous, when the floodwaters came, I'm telling you, the ark was the best thing in the world when the floodwaters started coming. It stunk, but I guarantee you nobody on the ark cared that it stunk. I'm just going to tell you right now, any excuse you have for not coming and running to the church is not validated. We're past the time where you can point to the church and say, well, they're hypocrites. You better find, if you really think the church is full of hypocrites, you better go jump right in the middle of those hypocrites and get saved in spite of them. And you let God sort the hypocrites out from the saints and you get in the church. Well, it stinks down there. It stinks at that. There's hypocrites. Well, nobody on the ark complained about the stench. Because it was the only thing floating when the floodwaters came. Can I preach? And it was not appeasing the sounds. It creaked. It wasn't no white noise. Sound machine, putting you to sleep calmly. It creaked all night. And the winds beat against the, and the waves crashed. But nobody on the ark cared about the noise. I really don't mean to sound mean and hard. But folks, I'm going to tell you some of the things that we allow to keep us away from church. Well, those lights are just a little too bright for me. It's just a little too, they keep it a little too cool in there. They keep it a little too warm in there. That music's just a little too loud for me. Those drums just a little bit too loud. You wouldn't have made it a day on the ark. I can just see you going to Noah. Well, you know, I would stay on the ark, but the creaking is just. You know why? Because they had a stark realization. You could literally look out the window and see what was going on out there. You know why people aren't running to the church? Because the enemy of our souls has blinded the eyes of this world. We see the clouds and they don't see the clouds. We hear the thunder, they don't hear the thunder. We see the lightning crashing, they don't see the lightning. They don't see it. They're blind to it. We need to pray God opens their eyes before it's too late. And we need to be the light, and we need to keep on pointing to the ark, to the ark, to the ark. But I'm preaching right now to some of y'all. You better be careful how you look at the ark, how you look at the church. It rocked, and people probably got a little motion sickness. Well, I don't know. They go down there to that church, and they're all juking and jiving. And in this church, you can literally feel the floor shake sometimes because we're elevated. So you may really go home with some motion sickness here. Nobody on the ark complained about motion sickness. Why? Because it's better, 1,000 times better, a day in thy courts. The ark had people too. But I'm just not a people person. Well, you'll forget all about that when you realize what's outside the ark. Praise God. Get in the church. If you're in the church, stay in the church. You better get in as far as you can. Grab a hold of the Lord with all you've got. Amen. Well, Brother Hawkins, I'm struggling. I've got problems. Bring your problems. Bring your circumstances. Bring your shortcomings. Bring your failures. The open sign is out. Everyone's welcome. Well, I'm a liar. I don't know if I'd be accepted. I have trouble lying. We love liars at church. Come on in. God specializes in saving liars. Well, you don't know. I've been locked up for this. I've been locked up for that. The Lord, He specializes in turning criminals around. Well, I'm addicted. I'm so addicted to this and I'm addicted to that. And oh, you'd be shocked how many people have been just as bound and more bound than you. And they run to the ark because there's no signs on the door of the ark that say, well, if you're a liar, you can't get on the ark. If you're a sinner, you can't come on the ark. No. Are you human? Come on in. Have you got a soul? In fact, the ark, you didn't even have to be human. Amen. Come on in. You got a soul? Come on in. Everybody's welcome at the church. We're all just humans trying to get to heaven. We're all just humans. We all got problems. We all got our issues. We all got our shortcomings. Amen. If I had another hour to preach, I'd just go around the room and tell you everybody's problems and all their shortcomings and all their failures, and I don't have time. I'm just kidding. But I don't see any, I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but I don't see any perfect people in this room. We're all just trying to get there. We're all on the same ark, and we're all dealing with the same rocking of the boat and the same creaking. And yeah, it's not perfect, but it's sure better than the floodwaters. It's our salvation, folks. It's what's going to take us out of here. It's what's going to rise us above what's coming. We better get a hold of this. We better love one another. If anything this week has taught us anything, we better know, listen, you're all I've got. I'm all you've got. Ain't nobody out there going to love you. I hope it puts it in perspective for us. Amen. Well, maybe we don't have the same views on prophecy. That's okay. We can still go to heaven together. Well, maybe we don't have the same views on every single little issue of the church. That's all right. We need to put those aside and get to heaven together. Are you with me today? Amen. So we better love each other in the church. Don't attack your brother. Don't look down your nose at your sister. Love each other in the church. And let's reach out to this lost and dying world and get as many in the ark as we can. What do you say before the door is shut on this thing? Come on, let's stand together. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost working right now. I don't know who I'm preaching to today. Maybe somebody's going to watch this. Maybe somebody's watching it now. Maybe you're here in the building. When I say to you that you need to put everything else aside and just give your life to Jesus and sell out to Him completely, it's the only thing that really matters, is being right with God. Being right with God. Hallelujah. It's not enough to be close to the ark. Not enough to be around the ark. It's not even enough to be on the ark. You got to be in the ark. So right now, in the waves of this sinful, messed up world, the boat may be rocking, but make sure you're in it. And what do you say? Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Let's continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Let the church bless you, but be a blessing to the church too. And we're going to make it. We're going to make it. Do you know what I believe? I believe that we are right now, as the body of Christ, positioned for the greatest harvest we have ever seen. It's harvest time. And here we are to be part of it. Here we are to be part of it. This is not over. The door is not shut. So you got family that needs to be saved? Aren't you glad there's time? You got friends that need to come to the Lord? Aren't you glad there's time? Aren't you glad Jesus didn't come when you were out there outside the ark? I'm thankful for that, but I'm going to tell you more. Also, I'm thankful that there's still time to get others in. Let's reach for them. Let's love them. Let's bless them. Let's pray for them. What do you say? Amen. Thank you, Jesus, for the church. Thank you, Lord, for a place that we can run to. Thank you for a tower, a safe place. Thank you for a place, Lord, that we can come and grow. Thank you for a place that we can come and fellowship. Thank you for a place that we can come and admonish one another and strengthen one another and provoke one another to good works. Thank you for a body that we can be part of, Lord. That you can lead us and guide us and we can do your work. If you're thankful for the church, why don't you just raise your hands and thank the Lord right now that you're part of the body of Christ. I thank you for it, Lord. This altar is open today. Maybe somebody would like to come and pray. And you're welcome to come. Maybe you want to pray at your seat. Pray there. Make an altar, would you? Would you talk to Jesus for a little while?
And all we need is found.
Come on, let the Lord work with you today.
Jesus.
Lord, speak to us. Lord, do a work in us, Lord.
Is more of you.
We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the ark of safety. We thank you, Lord.
Nothing else can satisfy our heart's desire. Oh, we want is more of you. For the Lord is good and his love endures. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And I'll shout it out from the is more of you. Yes, the Lord is good forever. And I'll shout it out from the mountaintops. Yes, the Lord is good forever.
If you're able to stand, would you stand with us for just a moment? If you're not able, that's okay. I don't want you to move from where you are. I don't want you to touch anybody, unless maybe it's somebody from your own family or whatever. But I wonder if it's been a while since we've really just prayed for one another. So maybe we could just stretch our hands out and around the church, kind of towards somebody's direction, and begin to bless them and pray for them in the name of Jesus. Pray that God would strengthen them. Would you do it? Yeah, just kind of reach your hand out to the church. Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I encourage them in the Lord. God, I pray for their faith to be strong. Lord, I pray, God, for your power to move in their lives. I pray for a fresh anointing to be upon them, Lord. God, I pray that you would strengthen them, encourage them, use them, Lord, for your glory. Use them for your purpose. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for my brothers. I pray for my sisters. Oh, God, give us unity. Oh, God, help us to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. Lord, let us move in your Spirit. Let us be led by you, directed by you. Make us what you'd have us to be. Use us, Lord, in this dark world to make us a light. We ask it in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hiyala baboro toshayala taka. Come on, I feel a shifting occur in the spirit world right now. I feel something begin to shift in the name of Jesus. Oh, I believe it right now. Oh, yes, in Jesus' name. I claim victory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Church, the Lord is on our side. And if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? Amen. Keep on keeping on. God is in control. If you did not see or listen to Wednesday night's Bible study, and I'm not trying to plug this because I was the teacher, but I really encourage our church to go and listen to that. And if you heard it, maybe listen to it again now, again, and let the Lord bless you through that. I believe the Lord gave me a word Wednesday night. And so let it inspire you, let it encourage you, let it speak to you. By the way, let me just make a general plug. That even though we're not meeting on Wednesday nights, if you're a member of Turning Point Apostolic Church, you should be watching or listening to Wednesday night Bible study. This, it is for you, and it will help you, and it will encourage you, and it will bless you. Amen? Amen. So that's, you know, we're not able to physically meet yet. We'll get there. Amen. But in the meantime, thank God we're able to still reach out and teach and preach. And I've stayed committed. I know some people are pre-recording their live streams, and there's nothing at all wrong with that at all. I've done it a couple times when my Wednesday night schedule wouldn't permit, but I just still feel led to come and show up Wednesday nights right here. You can ask Brother Barrow. We don't do takes. We don't do outtakes. There's no blooper reel. When it says we're live, I'm live. The Lord is. I believe the Lord is using us. Anybody that's in this pulpit, you can ask them. Nobody's pre-recorded any messages. It's been right here. The Lord is anointing us and using us. So as much as is possible, tune in and watch it as a family or watch it in your car, whatever, however you have to do it. But watch those live streams. And if you don't get to watch it live, at least go back and watch the archive, because it's one way for us to stay connected, but it's another way for you. You need your pastor's voice in your life right now.
Yes.
Not just once a week.
Yes.
And we need to be praying for one another, encouraging one another, lifting one another up. Amen?
Amen.
We love you so much. God is doing a great thing.
Yes.
Amen. And just in case you can't tell, I'm not discouraged. I'm excited. I can't wait to see what God is going to do. Amen. We love you. We're going to let this section over here go first today. God bless you, and you're dismissed in Jesus' name. Remember to keep praying for all those that need prayer, need lifted up in prayer. I'm believing God for Daniel and Carolyn to, hopefully they'll be able to get back next week, but whatever the will of the Lord is, if they're not back next week, the next week, but we're praying for next week. Continue to pray for Brother Bryce as well. Y'all, bundle up. It's November out there. We'll take this, won't we? This is all right. Amen. The Lord knew we needed this weather. Amen. All right, we're going to let this other far section over here go. God bless y'all. Praise God. Brother Harding, you dropped something, brother. Praise the Lord. Thankful for all of our guests here today. And some of you, your first time back since the pandemic hit. We're glad that you're back. If you guys see Chad Olson, everybody know who Chad Olson is, runs the garage down here, part of our church. He was here this morning. Tell him thank you for fixing our church bus. We had our catalytic converter stolen a couple of weeks ago. Somebody just stole it. It's kind of been happening, and happened to another church in Bloomington, but he fixed it for free. And I know he wouldn't want me just up here. He didn't do it, so I would tell you that. But I think that we give honor where honor is due. And and the Lord is blessing his business and continue to bless it. But if you see him, tell him thank you for that. That's not a small thing. Catalytic converters for a bus are costly, and the labor's costly as well. So we thank him for that. All right, let's go with this section here. God bless you.